Totes Recall.
Welcome to Totes Recall, the podcast where we talk about a movie we haven't seen in a long time and don't remember well. Yep. We watched the movie.
You're
well.
Floundering this time.
Is it? It's. I think it's complicated because he's hearing his own voice.
We are recording with new equipment. Thank you, patrons. Also, thank you, patrons, for the salads and pizza that we eat during the movie
watching. Can you give me a breakdown
experience
of that, please?
Two salads.
Thank you.
How many pizzas?
Ooh,
the same number.
Two.
Wow.
Different sizes, right?
Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Salads, same size.
Same salad?
Yes.
Okay.
This week,
yes.
This week. Sometimes different salad.
Yep.
Sometimes we have a good salad and a bad salad. This week, two good salads. My name is Dan.
I'm Molly.
I'm also Dan.
And I'm Beth.
And our movie this episode is 925.
Yes.
Yeah.
Working.
925.
925.
That's the one. It's a 2-hour music video.
What? No.
I don't remember much about this movie.
Okay.
Wow. What do you think it's about?
There's three women in it. Jane Fonda.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lily Tomlin.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ooh, nailed it.
Crushed
wow.
It.
Killing it.
And a man. Who I don't know.
That's a really good guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great guess that a film has a man in it.
Well, I mean, it's an important man. He's an important character in the movie. He's the antagonist.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
An evil boss man.
Ooh.
Yeah.
The three women work in an office.
Mm-hmm.
The boss man is the worst.
Yes.
They kidnap him.
Oh.
And everything probably works out.
Are you writing that down?
Yeah, that's all I got.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. I remember seeing this one in the movie theater, I'm pretty sure. I also think I was very, very young.
Yeah.
Like, very young. Like, this was an early 80s movie.
What year do you think?
I'm going to guess 1982. That's just a guess.
Good guess.
81.
Ooh.
I'm going to say 80.
Wow.
Boxing me out.
Dan?
Sadie Hawkins. Yeah.
Came out on Sadie Hawkins Dance.
Yeah.
I got invited to a Sadie Hawkins dance.
Me too.
NBD.
What?
What?
Wow, really?
Who asked you?
I don't know.
Oh, I did too. We had like one of the dances every year was considered a Sadie Hawkins
I never
dance.
Went to a Sadie Hawkins dance because I'm a coward.
You know, what a weird sexist dance.
It's weird, right?
Because it just, it points out how stupid everything is.
Yeah.
Here's the time you're allowed to ask a woman.
Right.
Ooh. Sorry, I just talked over you.
Good job, Dan.
I'm the worst.
Isn't it based off of, like, Little Abner?
I don't know.
Isn't that a character in Little Abner?
Is it?
I might be making that up.
I don't even remember what Little Abner is.
I don't know. I feel like that's a musical that they did in when I was in high school.
Working.
Sadie. Is it Little Abner like a
comic strip?
Like a comic, like Andy Cap?
Yeah.
Or one of
those. Yeah, but I think there's like a play / musical based off of it.
I don't know. Tweet at us.
I'm going to ask the man because I'm not supposed to. Sadie Hawkins.
Yeah. Yeah.
Seeing this in theaters.
Okay.
Oh, you know,
wow.
That's the point
Hawkins
of this. And it was the kind of thing, you know, this was before you had VHS, and so we would go see the same movie multiple times in theaters.
Sure.
So I feel like I saw this 2 or 3 times.
Wow.
I was very young. I was very excited because, you know, when you're a little kid, your parents go off to work, and you don't know where they go or what they do. And I knew my mom worked in an office building. So in my mind, I was like getting some great insight into like an office environment. And so I kind of studied it that way, if that makes sense, that I really like, tried to take it all in.
Yeah.
So at a young age, you were like, oh, the boss is a sexist, horrible man.
You know what, though? It was amazing to me rewatching it later. I realized how much sexism and terrible stuff there is. Mm. But if you watch it through the eyes of a young girl, the protagonists are all so amazing. These really cool ladies. And at one point, Lily Tomlin is literally dressed like a Disney princess.
Mm. Oh.
And they are such cool heroes. Oh, yes. There's fantasy sequences.
In the fantasy?
Yeah. Yes. Now, I didn't.
What?
Yes.
There's like a whole part of this movie that's like not in based in reality.
Is it animated a la Mary Poppins?
There is a part that's animated.
What?
Yeah.
Is it the opening?
No.
Oh.
I know. We haven't had a good animated opening in a long time.
It's been for ages.
But like this opening, like I can still picture. It's like that. Remember like in the 80s there were a whole bunch of movies that were people walking around New York. If it was like Tootsie or 9 to 5 or I don't know, there are a bunch of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then that music kicks in. And I still really love this movie. And I have a piece of trivia that I'm very excited about. And that is that apparently Dolly Parton had never done a movie before. And she didn't really know how they worked. and so Lily Tomlin had this great story about how on the day they all showed up for the read-through, Dolly Parton had already memorized all of her lines and everybody else's lines. She just memorized the entire script.
That's insane. That's
she didn't know.
Hours worth of material.
Yeah.
She's a professional.
She's a profesh. She's a national treasure.
Oh, she is.
She buys either the most or the second most children's books because she has an organization that gives free children's books to people.
Yes.
Wow.
Which is great.
Yes.
Dolly Parton.
Crushing it.
Uh-huh. She also has, for whatever reason, at her theme park, a large, I don't know what the word is. Like it's basically like a habitat for like injured bald eagles that like can't survive in the wild. No, it's amazing. I went to Dollywood last year.
Lucky.
Mostly because some friends of mine and my wife's were talking about how Dollywood exists and that's insane. And we kept talking about it to the point of like, oh, we should go like the way that like, you know, urban hipsters do.
Yeah.
But then eventually we're like, oh, we should just go. And we did. And there's this part of the park where there's literally just like a bunch of bald eagles like in trees up on like a hill with like a net or a fence around or whatever. And then there's a guy who works for like the Eagle Preservation Society or whatever, who is clearly there just to let people know, like, it's okay, these eagles would die without us. You know what I mean? Because you just walk up, you're just like, oh my God, why are they trapping like 2 dozen bald eagles for our entertainment? This is horrible.
Is it like, because America, USA number one?
Well, that's
one?
The thing. Like, that's what you're worried about is you're just like, are they just trying that hard and that they're not even considering that they're just like, just imprisoned like these great, you know, glorious skyborn creatures. But no, there's literally a dude there who clearly that is his main job is just being like, this eagle was found with a permanently broken wing.
Aww.
And can, you know what I mean, like he's clearly there to like just hit us right in the heartstrings and then remind us these eagles would not be alive without us. So you're like, oh, okay. And then you can just watch them flit around.
Aww.
But they're also huge and terrifying raptors.
Yeah.
So
they have the scariest feat of any creature.
Is that a bet?
Best bet?
Yeah, they don't look like dinosaur claws.
Don't they just have normal bird feet?
Yeah,
but they're
huge.
Like T-Rex claws.
Yeah, bald eagles are way bigger than you expect them to be.
Are they the biggest eagle? Number one eagle?
I don't know if they're number one eagle. They're definitely up there though, right?
No, I'm making that up. I was going to say, I feel like they're the biggest bird, but that has to be like an ostrich.
Or like a
condor.
Condors are bigger than ostriches?
Oh, I don't know about that, but like flighty birds.
Flighty birds, yeah. Flighty birds.
Okay.
I'm going to go with pterodactyl.
Not a bird.
Come on.
It's a type of pelican.
Yeah.
As we know from our Jurassic Park.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Chikret's bet, bald eagles. No, condors are the biggest flying birds.
True. All right. I'll take that bet.
That are alive today.
Oh,
I once played cello with a youth group in Pigeon Forge.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was very cold.
Oh.
And our instruments, it was very hard to stay in tune. It was like March or something.
Yeah.
And we played badly. I remember that. I remember as I was playing badly, I was like, this is not great. Oh, well, I hope we get to ride rides later.
But then at one point did like a graceful woman in like a sequined jumpsuit come out and be like, y'all played the best darn string music I've ever heard.
Oh, I would have given anything.
And
I think Dolly Parton is so cool.
Transformed into a butterfly.
Oh, and just flew away.
There's a hologram of her in Dollywood that actually does that, by the way.
Transforms into a butterfly.
It tells you.
Wait, what?
Yeah, like, okay. I don't want to talk too much about Dollywood because that'll take up the rest of the show.
This is now a Dollywood cast.
But it was, okay, for people who don't know, it used to just be like a mining-themed theme park. And then for whatever reason, Dolly Parton or people were like, fuck it, I'm going to buy it. And so now it's Dollywood. So most of it isn't actually that Dolly Parton themed, which is what we were hoping for. And we were very disappointed. But when you first get in there, there's a place called Dolly's Closet or Attic or something.
Yeah, sounds very promising. Yeah.
And you go in there, and it's just a bunch of her memorabilia, and literally a hologram of Dolly Parton greets you. And it's just like, I don't know, she just says, like, welcome, I'm so honored. Because she's such a sweetheart. She's, like, super gracious that you came to see her memorabilia, and then just transforms into a butterfly and flies away.
Wait, what?
It's amazing.
So cool.
Not a real butterfly.
A hologram butterfly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be a good trick, though, to have someone in a little, with a little box that just lets out one butterfly at the end of every recording.
Oh.
And you're like, holy shit.
There's a staff, like a high school teenager whose job every day is just to open the butterfly box.
And he's got to catch it again at the end of the day.
Oh, they only have one butterfly?
That poor butterfly.
Yeah. Oh. Well, it couldn't survive without them.
He got shot by a hunter.
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
Anyway.
Butterfly hunters.
Oh, and there's a great scene where Jane Fonda's character like is totally overwhelmed by this massive copy machine. Oh, there's so many great scenes in this movie.
Oh, I was going to say. So Jane Fonda is the person who's like new to the office, right?
Oh.
She like comes into the office and like Lily Tomlin's already like top dog there.
Mm-hmm.
And Dolly Parton's the secretary?
Am I supposed to confirm these bets?
Yeah.
Or these bets? These are very good bets.
Okay.
Isn't Dolly Parton's thing that she's like, at first you think she's just sort of like, oh, don't mind me. I'm just a lady.
I'm just sleeping with the boss.
Like, yeah, or whatever. But then she's also like.
Oh, she banging that boss?
But she's not banging that boss.
Oh, of course she's not. She is Dolly Parton. Come on, get it together.
Well, she's a character.
Well, sure, but still.
But everybody in the office thinks that.
Yeah.
That's what they think.
Everybody thinks, right?
Because their crap boss wants them to think that. But she doesn't find that out till later, and she is P.O.'d. Mm.
But there's some like inciting incident where they all end up in a bar and then decide to kidnap him.
I don't know if they decide.
Wait, no, they all get high in a house.
Yes.
And then then that's when the fantasy scenes happen.
Oh,
it's a drug trip?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I'm excited.
Well, they're like going through like, here's what I would do to him if I could do anything.
Oh, sure.
Cool.
And
but like
destroy
White
him.
Rabbit is playing underneath it the whole time.
That's a good bet. I'll take that bet.
But there are a bunch of madcaps that lead to the actual kidnapping.
Great.
It's not like an intentional, like, let's hatch a plan to kidnap him.
It's an accident.
Sure.
It's an accident.
But what? Okay, what's the accident?
I mean, I
could tell you the whole
thing.
No, don't. But I don't think that's the
They're trying to prank him, and then it's like, oh, I guess he's kidnapped now.
Well, but
that's how a man would do it,
They kidnap him in his own house, right?
Oh.
His wife is gone.
Home invasion?
Do you want me to tell you?
No!
I know the whole thing. Are these bets? These are all bets, Dan.
Yes, these are all bets.
Down?
I'm trying to like work through this because it will eventually, my brain will pull that information, but most of the time it's after the podcast has already been recorded.
Like you're driving home.
I'm watching the movie and I'm like, oh yeah.
I'm writing home invasion.
Okay.
Dan's bet. Once the prank invasion has succeeded, they then like sort of do like a sub Weekend at Bernie's scheme where they just like run the office themselves, but pretend like he's like just giving directives to
they don't kill him.
No.
No. But he's like tied up in his room.
Yeah.
Stop looking at me. I just want to tell you.
Necktie as a gag.
Yeah, great bet.
Necktie gag.
Yeah.
Capitalism.
Yeah. What's the business?
Ooh, great question.
Is it like generic 80s business? Or it's like probably stocks, but
I feel like it's something in finance.
I'm sure it's just like, we got to run these number reports.
Yeah.
I know they have an international location.
Oh.
And there's a guy who works there who looks like Colonel Sanders.
Nice.
Wow.
Is it Colonel Sanders?
Is there...
I mean, it's a possibility.
It is a possibility. Okay, Dan's bet, there is like a group of not as important to the story other put upon women who like
sub love, women.
Yeah, who are like their secondary characters there who happen go. To be women.
Yes.
Who don't really do much other than are just there to like just like what am I trying to say?
To
like,
get harassed in the hallway.
To get harassed and then to react to the 9-to-5 ladies running of the place later so that there's an example that the whole office agrees this guy sucks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it can't just be the three of them being like, this guy sucks, because then it's just these three women deciding someone sucks and then committing a crime.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, Jaquette's bet the 9-to-5 gals close a big deal.
Oh, nice.
Like, while they're, like, while running the office?
While they're Weekend at Bernie's, yeah.
Okay.
So, like, they do business good.
Yeah.
And then it's like, see, women can do business.
Week work week at Bernie's.
Ah.
Oh. I feel like there's a point where someone is hogtied.
Oh, yeah.
What does that mean again?
I'll
like,
take that.
Tied up like a hog.
But, like, what is specifically, what does that mean?
I think your hands and feet are all tied together.
Oh,
like,
sure.
you're about to be put on a pit.
I guess, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that what that's called? Spit.
Spit. Spit. Yeah. Yes.
Over a pit I'll of take fire.
That. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. I agree with that.
Ooh, if they. Oh.
And I want to say that I think some of the best character actress performances happen with these ancillary characters. These
ooh.
Secondary characters. Mm-hmm.
Are these characters named?
I believe so. Oh, yes.
Are we going to get like a.
This is going to pass the Bechdel in like thousands
of
gonna
ways. Get, yeah, yay. That's what I mean. Are we going to get like a double super Bechdel Wallace where like the secondary women are named and talk to each other?
I don't. Oh, wow. Let's go for that. I'm in it. You know what? I'm in all faith. Going to vote that happens.
Bechdel Wallace without any of the three
yeah, like
core.
Second level. Yeah, without the
a sub woman. Ooh, Bechdel
Wallace. This is dangerous, but I'm going for it. Did you say sub again?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
I want to bet that this will pass whatever the like flip side of the Bechdel Wallace test is
what?
For men in like oh. like a really. Shitty way that could be in any movie but it's not for women, you know what I mean? Like there'll be some male character named like Clark and uh-huh. just be like, oh hey Clark, how you doing? Good, I went to the zoo this weekend. All right, good talking
oh
to
yeah
Bill.
Yeah, because it has
like,
to
why
pass
don't, why don't
one.
You put that in a
right.
movie but have women do it?
Yeah. Like mm-hmm. Like a scene that serves no actual purpose yeah. to the story but is just there because like men gotta talk to each other.
Yeah, we gotta have some men talking to each other otherwise no one will see this movie. The Mandale Wallace. Nope.
No.
I'm workshopping it.
I think the boss has a mustache.
Yeah.
Ooh. Solid.
That
I'll
true?
Take that. I will double, triple
right.
ban.
Any bets on like what type of mustache it is?
Oh, like creepy. Like a thick Flanders
oh.
type.
Yeah.
Push broom.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I think it's creepily less dense.
Like, you think it's a pencil?
Like
pencil
a little
pencil?
Thinner?
It's not like pencil, but it's like.
Wispy.
It's coverage.
Porn stash.
No. Oh, God. I don't know what that is. No.
What? A porn stash is like a, it's like full coverage, but
like
thin, not very dense.
Barely.
Oh, gross. I don't know. I can't make that bet. But I think it is like that.
Okay.
Okay. So not a porn stash, but something like
I'll put it in quotes.
Thank you.
Okay. They go to his house.
Yeah.
Because they're going to play a prank on him.
Or maybe they're just going to, like, tell them off because they're high.
Yeah.
Oh.
It is definitely, like, right after they're high. Right? And then they go in. No. They're going to steal money from him?
Ooh.
No. No. Okay, Molly's
sorry,
shaking her head
stop.
No.
Stop looking at Molly.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I just can't.
I think
I can't
they're
going to
leave
what happens.
Flaming dog poo on his
yeah.
doorstep.
And then he, like, trips into a rope. And the rope knots itself around his hands and feet.
He's hogtied now.
Well, yeah, they have to like do something that like makes it so he can't leave his house.
Yeah, ooh. Maybe they're gonna break in and like put cellophane on his toilet.
I have a bet. I bet that they break into his house when they think he's not gonna be there, and then he is there, and they're like, "Oh no!" and they panic and they tie him up, and they're just like, "Well, screw it," and they just leave him there for a while because he's a jerk.
Yeah. You know, I think I'm having the experience that our listeners usually do during the first half where you just want to take
well,
the radio
I'm
out of
sorry,
your car.
Sorry, we finally are watching a movie you've friggin' seen.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah. I think this is the first one. Is this the first movie?
It's been like 3 years.
Yeah. Wow. Like episode 45. Yeah. Took 45 episodes. Yeah. 9 to 5.
Now it'll turn out that she saw like a staged play of it when she was a kid or something.
She listened to the audiobook while looking at pictures of Dolly Parton.
She just watched an episode of The Office.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, I have a bet. This is definitely another Friends bet. Episode. Yeah. Because sorry, this what? Is probably the 80s. They do close a hot deal with an international client. And that international client is problematically Asian.
Yep. Yeah.
For sure Japanese.
Japanese, right?
Yeah.
Please stop looking at me.
I wasn't, because I believe in the integrity of this show.
I feel like the logo of the company is a globe.
Whoa.
Globe.
Globeco.
I mean, that 100% is the name of the company.
I would like to make bets about how they establish that the boss is a bad man.
Ooh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
For sure, sexualizes all of them.
He's a creep supreme.
Yeah, he's for sure a creep supreme.
Yeah.
I'm going to say he aggressively compliments Dolly Parton.
No question. Mm.
Yep.
And is dismissive of Lily Tomlin.
Mm.
Even though she's the best that the office has.
Yeah.
It's probably basically
some dude gets a promotion over her.
Great bet.
Yeah.
Over promote. Sorry.
Oh, do you think he has golf clubs in his office?
Yes.
Yeah.
Business. Oh, I'm looking forward to all the 80s business talk that happens in 80s business movies.
Oh, it's going
to
be so good.
All those lady bow ties. Like, I remember my mom had a whole closet full of ties.
Are we saying hat trick on those bow ties? All three ladies have those on at some point?
No.
Well, I won't make that bet, but you can.
Okay. I'll go hat trick on shoulder pads.
Oh. Yeah. I feel like Dolly Parton has a certain pride for not covering her neck area.
Oh, sure.
I think that could be an interesting part of the first part of the movie.
Wait, she has pride in not covering her?
Like, I think she likes to show off some skin.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
She's got a bangin' bod.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that a bet?
Yeah.
Got a bangin' bod. Best bet, bangin' bod.
All right. We'll check in with that in the second half. In the end, when everything is working out fine,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to go Beelball Big Man Baggins and say that the boss gets fired. He doesn't work there anymore.
Whoa.
It's revealed that mm-hmm. he is... hashtag bad man. And this movie brings about change.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that. Those are two different bets, though. Bringing about change.
Oh, sure. I guess they could be like, well, let's hire this other man.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm going to go super bold.
Can I ask you to elaborate on a part of that scenario?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that change made clear because a more powerful man comes in? It's just like, well, I'm only in this one scene, but this company's doing great again.
Oh,
yeah, probably.
I think there's a big boss guy that mm-hmm. comes in for
sure. Yeah, the big boss who's also a man.
Yo, for sure.
But he's I think he has white hair and also a mustache.
Oh. Would you and say he's like Colonel Sanders?
Oh, I think he looks exactly like Colonel Sanders. he's like Bert Cooper from Mad Men.
Yeah. And he's like, these ladies know how to run an international deal with the Japanese.
Who would have thunk it?
And then he puts, I don't know, Lily Tomlin in charge.
Yeah, and he'll be like, I mean, sure. Why not? It's the 80s, damn it.
Yeah.
A woman in charge.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's how I think the end goes.
Great.
All right.
And then the boss will be like, and then he'll have to leave in disgrace.
Sorry, what?
Yeah, no, I double ban
no,
on
no,
that.
What you mean.
I double ban on that.
Yeah.
Ooh, Dan's bet. At that point when he's doing that noise, he gets unceremoniously, I don't know, in some way he has a pratfall.
Yeah, his pants fall down.
Yeah, or he trips over a janitor's mop or something.
And he has those white, it's white boxers with hearts on uh-huh. it.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then a dog comes up and bites
on
the back of the
boxers. And then
the
elevator door is closed right then.
And you just see the
nine,
cloth.
9 to 5.
And the door closed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they go, I got a great ad campaign for Coppertone.
I thought they were a finance company.
Does Dolly Parton want to sing in this movie? Sorry, I just cut you off.
Does she want to be a singer?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Ooh.
I vote no, but I could be wrong.
Okay. I'm like just curious because she sings.
Moved to the big city to get into entertainment or something.
Oh yeah, this is New York City for sure.
Oh well, I mean, I sort of already said it was.
Yeah, you did.
Oh yeah.
Which one of them brings the weed?
Oh,
Lily Tomlin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Stop looking at Molly.
Molly knows it the best. I feel like she can be like, wink.
No, that's you're ruining the whole premise of the first half of the show.
I will say that when I was a kid, I didn't piece together that there was any sort of drugs, and a lot of the sexual stuff went completely over my head.
I would love to compile a list of movies you saw as a kid and did not realize there was drugs involved.
Oh yeah, or like Dirty Dancing. That is all about sex.
Oh yeah,
that is very little about dancing.
Yes,
it's mostly about dirty.
Yeah.
Oh, it's in the title.
Yeah. And is there any side romance in this movie? Oh. I'm going to say no.
Great.
I feel like oftentimes I get annoyed by like movies that feel like they have to like thrust a romantic story in at the end and like, oh, well, let's wrap that up too.
Yeah.
But I feel like this movie might stay the course. Friendship.
Yeah, I think it's a friendship hashtag movie.
Girl power. I feel like they have a lot to get done. You have a lot happening in this movie.
They can't be bothered to start a relationship with a man right now. They're running an international finance company.
Yeah, and upper decking the boss.
Is that the term?
Upper decking? What are you talking about?
It's where you take a dump in the toilet tank.
Okay, that is what you meant?
Yeah. They're pranking the boss.
Okay. They had a prank up.
Okay.
That's what I'm talking about.
What is that MTV show?
What?
Where they just hit each other in the bees?
I believe you were Jackass.
Yeah.
I feel like you think that Jackass and a ladies movie merge somehow.
Well, I'm just trying to think of pranks. Okay,
so you're saying that their original plan was to upper deck the boss at his home, and then that somehow involved in them trapping him and pretending to run the company on his behalf.
Yeah, maybe the boss came into the bathroom and they saw, I don't know, Jane Fonda, crouching on the top of the tank.
If this movie has a scene where all three of them are crouching over the top of one toilet, and this guy walks in, that would be this is the greatest movie of all time.
Be like, we cannot let this guy out.
He just saw all three of us pooping in the top of his toilet. This would have been an automatic five whatevers for me if that scene was in this movie.
Wow.
I'm sure that doesn't happen.
Tourette's bet, Upper Decker.
Ew.
How great would that be if Dolly Parton was like, I've got a prank. And it was like her idea.
Yeah.
Not even that improvised. They do it, but just that like it was her idea.
I think that's one of the like fantasy scenes.
Upper Decking in a Disney princess gown.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Well.
So.
We have some really good visual jokes happening right now.
Okay. All right. So how many of Molly's sacred childhood memories would you give this movie?
Wait, what?
How many of my sacred childhood memories would you give this movie? On a scale of 1 to 5, with 5 being the highest.
Oh.
I mean, or more. You could go higher than 5 if you wanted to.
But wait, USA number one.
Yeah. Oh, weird.
What have we been?
We've been doing it wrong.
What?
Yeah.
Ooh,
USA
number 5?
Oh, no. USA number 5. Hashtag USA number 5. Tweet at us to show us your true patriotism. And we'll sell you some nutritional supplements or whatever the fuck Alex Jones does.
Oh, that's right.
Anyway, I'm gonna be a little bold because I remember enjoying this movie a lot when I saw it. I thought it was very fun and like pretty funny. Like, because it was a movie where I was worried it was going to be one of those just like, oh, it's just a movie that people liked in the 80s, but now it's just like a dumb 80s movie. But I feel like this was a dumb 80s movie that like holds up enough where you're like, this is entertaining, I'm enjoying it, this is great. Four childhood memories. Jesus, that's a lot of pressure.
Believe it or not, with how little I remember of this, I believe I've seen this movie within the last year.
What?
Wow.
Wow, that does not
was it on?
It's like a reverse chase.
Yeah.
Was it on the film?
AFI?
AFI top 100
no, it wasn't.
Random movies that people should watch anyways?
Yeah.
Patriarchy?
No. it was on a streaming service.
Sure.
And I was like, I've never seen this movie, so I watched it.
I believe that is also how I watched it.
Yeah.
Because my wife was like, have you seen this movie? And I said, no. And then I watched it.
I watched it with my dad when I was a teen.
Oh, wow. Really? So you had some time with just you and your dad?
My brother was probably there.
Cool.
Great. Oh, my God. Sinister laughter.
And because I don't remember it that well, mm-hmm. I'm going to say 4. Mm. Otherwise, I would say 5.
Ooh. Wow.
But you know what? I'll probably say 5 eventually.
Who knows?
Because it's going to be real fun. It's going to be a fun romp.
I'm already terrified of failure.
I bet it's a romp.
Oh, yeah. Something for everyone?
I'll double down on that.
Something for everyone. Something for everyone.
Am I confused that Ghost is not implied?
By romp?
Isn't a romp something for everyone?
Oh, no. I think romps don't have to have something for okay. everyone.
Yeah. As much as I use the word romp, I'm not really sure what it means. Okay. Oh my gosh. I feel like you take like a romp in the park, right? Sure.
Yeah. What? Or like in a field.
Yeah, like you're like having a good time.
Romping around like a dog.
Man, this is a sidebar, but I used to work in a creative environment mm-hmm. that produced television.
Must be nice.
And there was this meeting. This was the giant meetings with people from all these different departments, and somebody from marketing had been put in a terrible position where he had to say something about a particular episode that they had been led to believe would be more of a romp. Now, I still to this day do not know what that implies.
Yeah.
But what I do know is that the creative team in Los Angeles mm-hmm. that was on the TV screen, you know, at the other end of the conference room table, I got to watch my first creative director meltdown and only of my entire career, and it was epic. There was like paper throwing.
Yes.
There was screaming.
Yes.
There was insults. There was like pounding of fist on table.
Whoa.
There were employees sitting staring with that stare of like, I'm going home after this. I'm gonna drink so much wine and F you this job.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Was he upset because he thought it was a romp, and how dare you for saying it wasn't?
Yeah.
Or because how dare you degrade my work by wanting it to be a romp?
Well, and it wasn't even his work specifically. Oh. No, it was how dare you, you vapid, empty, produce nothing marketing person, think you are giving any sort of, using any sort of creative direction term in my direction. I swear to God, if that table had not been bolted to the floor, he would have flipped it. It was epic. And then he threw some more papers and stormed out of the room and slammed the door.
At one point, did he say, you want to see a fucking rump?
And then he showed his rump.
Oh.
And then the elevator closed. Yeah, no, it was. Anyways, that word romp for me has always just like evoked
very
that memory.
Specific connotation. Yeah.
Very specific, but I still awesome. Don't know what it's supposed to mean. So maybe I'll look that up during the break.
Yeah.
Can we write that down? Can we look this up?
Sure.
Can I solve this mystery once and for all?
I have a pretty good idea and I could say it, but we could look it up
but
as well.
But isn't that the thing? It's like that word that you feel like you have a good idea about it. But if somebody were to put you on the spot and ask you to define it.
Yeah, like if a space person
like
came
porno.
Down and said
what?
Romp.
Like the Supreme Court famously had said, I can't define what porno is, but I know, or not Supreme Court, maybe it was some senator. Anyway, some
I was
going to
say, I'm pretty sure
it was a member
having
of the Supreme Court.
Okay, I can't define it, but I know it when I see it. I
believe it
well,
was
that's
Alito.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Okay, mm-hmm. Sure.
Tweet at us.
Yeah.
Court heads.
Court heads.
Wait, like funny. Judge Dredd.
Ah.
Judge Head.
Judge Head.
Nah, I don't like it.
Like
oh, is that like, are you explaining what porn is?
What?
What?
No.
I don't
Molly.
Understand what
Molly.
Molly.
Oh, I thought you were doing like those titles. You know how they do that?
That was my porn
That'd
title
be, like,
of our hashtag.
Yeah. Oh, that's a pretty good porn parody.
Sure. Yeah. Great porn parody, actually. Also starring Rob Schneider. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How many?
I think it's...
It's my turn.
Yeah.
I'll give it... I do think this will be a fun romp. I don't know if there's any other kind of romp. But anyway, I think it'll be a fun romp. I'm going to say 4 as well.
Okay.
Because I'm open to going to 5, but I don't want to get my hopes too high going into out of the gate.
Yeah.
So 4.
Oh, man. Oh, I will tell you honestly that I have that same feeling I always have when we go into a movie that I remember really loving. I just start getting like knots in my stomach thinking that I'm going to end up hating it by the time it's over. And going around and hearing your high scores made me want to give it a 3 just because I'm so scared. Oh, but I'm not amazing. Going to do that because I have set the scale at Molly's Sacred Childhood Memories. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to have to go with 5, obviously. And then we'll just see if there's heartbreak after the break. And I have to go back down to something less. What's happening, Dan?
I just have a related question for
yeah.
you. Because now that you brought it up, this has become a metric we've used on the show before. What percentage do you feel, what percentage of confidence do you have that I will end up ruining the movie for you in the second half?
Ooh, at least 25%.
Okay.
Maybe 40, possibly 80.
I mean, okay, Jesus. Those are pretty good
That's
odds.
That's a range.
That is a range. I've got breathing room.
Yeah.
Great.
And with that, we're going to press pause, go watch 9 to 5, and we'll be right back. And we're back. We just watched 1 hour and 50 minutes of 1980s movie magic, aka 9 to 5.
Cool.
Cool.
All right. Well,
that's our podcast. Great. You know what's more than 150 minutes?
I don't.
3 hours plus.
It was more than 3 hours?
No, but the new Blade Runner is going to be more than 3 hours.
Oh, because we're going to go see it.
Yeah, we're going to go see it. We're going to do a tiny totes.
Oh, I see. What? It's not more than 3 hours. It's almost 3 hours.
Oh, I thought it was more than.
Still too long.
Still too long.
Hey, this is our transition into talking about the Patreon page. Very smooth.
Very smooth.
So
smooth.
You could give us money. Any amount of Patreon support earns you bonus content.
Mm-hmm.
And the most recent bonus content that will have been made and put up.
Mm-hmm.
This is taking too long.
Jesus. We went sub later in 2049.
<It's disgusting. laughs>
And we did a tiny totes about it. Go watch it. Thank you for your support. Is that fine? Even if you don't support us monetarily, we appreciate you. But we appreciate you more the more you give us. Capitalism go. Office, business.
Consolidated company.
And with that money, we got these new microphones, which we already talked about. But I feel like we really got to like
address it. In case people are like, why are
new microphones?
So distracted.
Yeah.
And sound better.
Yeah. It's because we're all wearing headphones.
Yeah.
We each have individual microphones. Yep. So I can edit this and it will sound amazing.
Yes. Yeah. She can cut out all the bullshit finally.
Yeah.
Finally silence the men on
That's
this
right.
podcast.
Yeah. I'm just going to turn your tracks off. So just be me and Molly talking to each other with like really long pauses.
Nice.
Finally the podcast you dreamed of.
That's right. That's right, listeners. You're finally getting what you hoped for.
It should be an option. If we get to $2,000 a month.
Yeah.
Or no, it's more of a reward. At the $75 a month level, you can choose which voices you want on your podcast.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh.
You will get a special feed with only those voices.
That's terrifying.
But only from this episode forward.
Right.
Oh,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or just this episode.
Oh, okay.
That's fair.
All right. I mean, I don't have to do the editing, so I'm not going to put conditions on it, but...
I mean, I better be getting all of that money.
Sure. You pay Beth personally $75
a month. There you go.
She will
find
custom
Beth.
Podcast edits for you.
Probably more than $75.
Yeah. I was like, ugh.
I mean, that's not to tell you how to do your job, but just dropping a few tracks got to be pretty easy.
Whoa.
Wow.
Right?
Wow. That is just like a man.
Delete.
To not understand
you just
business.
Take your perfectly manicured finger.
Yeah.
Put it on the delete button.
Oh my
god.
And
then you just put your feet up.
Wow.
And file your nails.
Wow.
For the rest
it's
of the
almost
day,
like
right?
you've never edited any of the episodes at all.
Ever.
But I mean, we.
But like, I
we
get it.
Did a lot of
well,
it. We do a lot for the show. We contribute a lot to the show.
Woo.
Yeah. That's That's some grade A patriarchy.
You guys were giving you just a taste of what this movie was for like 2 hours.
It was intense.
Ooh.
Can I just say to start, it was a tight script.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was.
Yes.
In a very, like, surprisingly tight, considering how much happens.
Yeah. I was thinking about that because the movie is entertaining throughout, but it does go on. It, like, is a movie that goes on tangents.
Yeah.
I mean, they're, like, tangents that apply to what's happening, but, like, they take time to show three different ways that the characters would, I believe they use the term, bump off the boss.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And everything is precise, like right down to the fact that she's fixing her own garage door opener.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that comes back later.
Foreshadowing.
Mm-hmm. Foreshadowing.
And the teamwork that Dabney Coleman,
yeah,
the creepy, oh, right, boss man,
yeah,
proposes? No.
What? Pitches?
What?
What are you trying to do?
Yeah,
right,
what's
now
happening?
I'm trying to think of the right word. Anyway, expouses. That's the word I want.
Ah, okay.
The teamwork that the Dabney cult expouses in the early on is then comes back to bite him in the ass when the big boss, Colonel Sanders, comes, mm-hmm, down and makes a move to Brazil. Teamwork.
Teamwork.
Mm-hmm.
Great point I made. Worth the time spent on it.
You can just mute his track.
Yep.
For,
just cut that one out.
I guess that's just a bonus for everyone.
This movie did come out in 1980, as, man, Molly said.
Which means I was 5 years old.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe six.
Wow.
Which means I saw this movie, yep, in the theaters, yeah, when I was a six-year-old multiple times. And I think I asked for it. I think I was like, can I go see that Lady Business movie again?
Wow.
Did you, what do you think you were, we were talking about this during the movie, of, mm-hmm, like the drugs, mm-hmm, and the sex themes.
Yep.
And how you didn't absorb them as a child. Mm-hmm. So what do you think was resonating for you as a five-year-old watching this movie?
I think it was getting an idea of what the adult world was like. But if you watch this movie, so much of it is like a Looney Tunes movie. Mm. It's sort, mm-hmm, of like Home Alone a little bit in a lot of the ways it's presented.
Yeah.
And I think honestly, like I remember growing up, if there were any women characters I really latched on, like I really studied it. So I would watch He-Man every day at 4 p.m. after school. But I was really gunning for like She-Ra.
Yeah.
You know, or I'd watch Voltron, but I was really gunning for the princess. Or Smurfette, or anything, any representation, including, now that I think about it, Daisy Duke from the Dukes of Hazzard. It didn't really matter. I was just looking for lady role models, and these are the coolest ones.
Sure, because, mm-hmm, they're TCB.
Yeah, they're, yeah, definitely TCB, and one of them has like a whole Disney spoof. Lily Tomlin is awesome.
She's fantastic. Great.
What's TCB?
Taking Care of Business.
Oh, got it.
It's Elvis's slogan?
Motto?
Mantra?
Doesn't matter.
Wait, like Elvis
Presley.
He would write TCB and draw a lightning bolt all the time.
Oh.
Because, yeah, he's always taking care of business.
Mm-hmm.
Like lightning.
Yeah.
Or something. He was on a lot of drugs.
Yeah. But yeah, speaking of, I didn't notice the joint thing until I was in my 30s or something whenever you watched, sure, the film. So.
Yeah. I mean, they're BA ladies.
They are BA, sure, ladies.
And I just so appreciate that instead of, like, dancing around the kitchen with wine, that they just get stoned and do craft projects. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. They, like, it's, like, real and not gritty, but, like, yeah. It's, like, a real representation of, like, actual people.
Right. Like, they just sit around and consume drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, there's no, like, goofy, I don't know, yeah.
Like, they're not, like, bad momming it.
Right.
Which, ooh, is another great movie, ugh, with some BA ladies in it.
Wow.
So bad.
Yeah.
Bad moms.
Some of us didn't get to see that movie.
Oh, that's
what,
right.
Because some of us...
Wait, did some of us see it after everyone else saw it?
No, some of us had to work because their boss, who's actually a very nice woman.
Oh. Well, we'll watch it for the podcast before... Bad
Please
Moms
don't make me see it again.
Christmas, no, comes, yeah, out, or, no, whatever the next Bad Moms is.
I will never see that again.
Anyway, it's a great movie. On par with 9 to 5.
Oh, oh no, 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 no.
Oh,
no,
you,
no,
hush.
No.
Oh, he did.
Yeah. Also, Dan is mad at me, and I said 1980.
I'm not mad at you.
Yeah.
But you did say 1980. I was going to say that, but then Molly kept talking over me.
Oh, okay. Wow, the tensions are high.
Tensions are high. Everyone's got their own microphones, and now they got these independent streaks.
It's like we're each doing our own podcast. If you want just one solo podcast, donate $5,000 to Patreon.
$5,000.
Patreon.com/Totes Recall.
And I'll film it InfoWars style.
Okay. God. I would pay $5,000 for a Beth Gibbs InfoWars style show.
That would be amazing.
But you have to be as apoplectic and angry.
Okay.
Because that'd be incredible.
I would give you a sample, but it costs $5,000.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
Anyway, so three competent ladies working for, what is it, Consolidated?
Consolidated, yes.
Companies, what was the full name? Like just
Consolidated Corporation Inc. No, so Consolidated Companies Inc.
Consolidated Companies Incorporated.
Yes.
That's amazing.
I love the generic business talk in this. And then
the logo was round.
Yes.
It was not a globe.
I think it was two C's.
Yeah, it was a C within a C.
But they were global.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was another business that they interacted with that was just called Metropolitan
Mutual.
Something? Mutual. Metropolitan Mutual. Yep. Yeah. Just so beautifully so vague, because it could be any office in America.
Am I right, workers?
Oh, and that opening. Okay, so the opening scene is everything that I remembered it being and more. And also, I didn't remember what a, I don't know, anthem is probably the wrong word, but how much of a celebration this was of average working women. Because the entire opening is just various women kind of trudging to work. Lots of shots of women in heels, lots of shots of ordinary looking people trying to get to work on time. And then it opens up, like there's so much elevator work in this movie, so much. But the first time the elevator opens and you see the room, it looks just like an episode of Mad Men, except in the 80s.
Yes.
But it's just incredible. It's this incredible portrait. And a lot of care was taken with all the secondary characters, too. And I can't wait to talk about Margaret, but I'll hold off for a minute.
I mean, we can talk about Margaret.
I mean, because she's amazing.
Let's take a quick moment, though, for Dan's sake, to appreciate during the montage of Working Women that we have a quick shot of urban life where a woman gets a cup of coffee from a portly, middle-aged man on the street with a little cart.
Yeah. He's a portly man, which is great. But he's got one of those belt change giving things that I only saw in Scooby-Doo cartoons. They like dispense Scooby treats out of it.
What, really?
Or like people in the arcades.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
I just like, I was, as a kid, I was always enamored with the gadget that you wear on your belt that dispenses quarters.
Uh-huh.
And this dude had it and he was working at a cart and I loved him.
Yeah, it was everything you wanted.
It was so good.
No hot dogs, though.
No hot dogs. I mean, the background characters in this were
solid.
So good.
Solid
every
background
single one,
work.
Every extra, every moment. It was incredible. I know my credibility is worn down a little bit because I love this movie so much. But seriously, like every extra and every character was amazing.
Yeah, they're pretty great. There are so many characters that like are only in it for 2 minutes or whatever, but they really add a lot, including the two police officers in the hospital. At one point, we're skipping around.
Do it.
Yeah. So at one point, they believe that they had poisoned the, there's characters' names.
Mr. Hart.
Victoria, is that her name?
Who?
Violet.
Oh.
Violet. Violet put rat poison in Mr. Hart's coffee. Then he falls over out of his chair, hits his head, and he gets brought to the hospital. She thinks she poisoned him. So they're outside of this room, and they see Mr. Hart sneaks out. They don't see that happen.
Sure. There's a switcheroo.
A man dies. Okay, this is boring.
You're already there. You're already there. You're there.
You're like 80%
but
there. Just
what is happening
through.
Is there are two police officers or...
It's like a detective and a police officer.
Yeah, standing outside of the hospital. Oh, God. Okay.
What's happening, Beth?
One is wearing a leather jacket, and one is leaning so hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's amazing.
The leaning on that one detective or whatever.
I think that's the officer.
Whatever. Leaning.
Yeah, I think the officer is leaning. He has a badge.
Detectives also have badges.
Secret.
They're usually just on their belts or on around a little lanyard.
I mean, the one like guy's detectives... obviously a detective because he's got a trench coat and like a little hat.
Oh, I thought it was like a leather jacket.
Yeah, I thought it was.
The other guy had a leather jacket, so there is no uni.
Wait, what's a uni?
Just a uniform.
Yeah, there's a uni.
Right. Yeah, the one guy has the cop has a uniform on and a leather, like a black leather...
Cop jacket.
I'm just imagining this is the pitch for the movie.
And then three ladies show up. I don't know
about this fucking cop. He's like nobody's business.
He leans so hard on that wall. And then he's so...
He leans as hard on that wall as he does on the suspect.
Wait, how do we know that one's a cop and one's a...
We hide the badge on one of them.
Secret badges.
Okay.
It's brilliant.
We did. There was discussion that this movie was secretly directed by Joe Dante because there were a lot of like Looney Tunes-esque moments.
Yeah. And then you can hear Molly as long as Beth hasn't cut her mic.
Yeah.
This was her reaction at the mere mention of Joe Dante's name.
Yeah.
No Joe Dante voice was
no
done.
Voice.
Just
no
like,
voice.
Oh, this is like a Joe Dante movie. And then like a full 30 seconds straight of laughing.
Yeah.
What are you saying? We put a trash can on his head.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. Because it was during the dream sequence. And Mr. Hart is like being hunted down. And he's got a trash can on his head. And Judy's trying to shoot him. And then it's like that duck and those old-timey cartoons and games.
Yeah.
Like Midway games.
Yeah.
And he's running back and forth. And that seemed like a Joe Dante.
It's solid.
It was funny to me.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, whatever.
Very funny. Anyway, the cop leans so well.
So well.
He even leans like on his own leg in an impressive way.
Yeah,
he wasn't even on a wall.
Air leans.
Yeah, I believe one of you said he's leaning even without the wall.
Yeah. He's great.
He's got that much swagger.
So much swagger. Yeah, this movie was great. I also wanted to watch some of the other movies that were happening around this,
right?
Mm-hmm. Which were those two cops, which are great characters, like them solving that murder case.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then also the huge Italian-American family that comes into the hospital yelling at each other.
Yeah.
There's one guy with like an arm
bleeding bandage.
And they're all like making stereotypical Italian hand gestures.
That was the distraction that Violet needed.
Yeah.
I wrote down, all of New York comes into the ER.
I also want to see more about that doctor. The doctor comes out and the cop/detective say something to him. I'm so bad at describing what happens in the movie. Anyway,
like, how's
they're like,
the patient?
How's he doing? And he's like, oh, he's dead.
Yeah.
And like just walks away.
Yeah.
He looks like, he kind of reminds me of House a little bit. Like he's a little disheveled. He doesn't have a lot of.
He's got like a little bit of an open collar.
Oh,
going
too
on.
Much.
Yeah.
I'd say.
It's probably against hospital regulations.
You can tell this is 1980 because there's like some characters that are still living in the 70s.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Like that doctor's got like a big collar and like chest hair. Same with the lean cop.
Yeah.
He's got like a cool like cop, 70s cop show cop vibe going on. Yeah. That doctor's great. We first see him when he's talking to Mr. Hart about his head bump. And then he's just like all business. Like, we're going to get you x-rays. And then Hart's like, you're trying to screw me with your medical. And so he just like, doctor just books it out. He's like, all right.
Yeah.
I don't need to deal with you.
Well, and there's somebody crashing.
Right.
Oh, right.
I think it's the suspect.
It's the suspect, yes, that Violet accidentally abducts the corpse of.
Yeah.
And
then
some madcaps happen. They have to return the corpse once they discover that it's not Mr. Hart. They return the corpse to the hospital. And that is where we have another, I don't know, cameo is the wrong word, but my MVP.
Oh, solid one-liner.
Oh, solid one-liner. And it was, we have another stiff in the John. And it was delivered by the woman who plays the cleaning lady. And she just, everything about it.
Oh, yeah. The whole, like that whole moment. Because one, it's just, it's a great line delivery. And then there's just like, before they cut away from her. There's just this weird little head shake of just like, here we go again. Yeah. Working in this friggin' hospital, another dead body in a wheelchair in the bathroom.
It's her 9 to 5. Is
exactly. Yeah. She's dealing with
stiffs
this
all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love the implication of that absurd things happen all the time in some parts of this world. Like, I'm jumping way ahead here. But they're one of the improvements that the ladies make when they're like in control of the company is they apparently create a alcoholics rehabilitation program, which implies there are like a lot of alcoholics at the company.
I mean,
but our favorite alcoholic by far is Margaret.
Alcoholic. Oh, Margaret.
Oh, she, what a great, just an incredible performance and amazing. There's a whole series of her saying, atta girl.
Yep.
Oh, God bless America.
When the three main ladies all leave to go get drinks after Creep Supreme Boss is extra creepy.
Like separately creepy to all of them.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like in a row.
They all go to Charlie's.
They go to Charlie's to get drunk.
Mm-hmm.
And a girl.
I'm really not doing it justice. I didn't set it up nearly as well.
She's great. She's
do you want me to describe it?
Yeah. Do you do it?
Okay. There's like a lady that sits at the desk behind the one.
Violet.
Like Violet. Okay.
Who's Lily Tomlin.
Yeah. And then she like, she's always drinking like out of like a metal canister.
Flask.
And so like they're all, the boss is like creepy to all of them at some point, and then they leave to go get a drink. And then she, after each one, is like, atta girl to each one of them, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, like, not actually to them. Like, it's not loud like, enough for them to
it's
hear.
It's, like, to the other people in the office. Yes. And like, it's very funny. To, it's, like, a joke.
To herself as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was that better?
I knew you were doing a bit, and I for real spaced out through that.
Anyway, Margaret's great. Margaret is Margaret's what great. Everyone... I think on some level kind of not aspires to be at work, but sort of like if you're going to resign yourself to being at your job, like that's the way to do it.
Yeah. Right? I mean, and alcohol is just like one coping mechanism, right? We all have different coping mechanisms, but in our heart of hearts, we're Margaret.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Like 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, she was possibly my favorite character.
She's great.
Pretty good.
Except really, Dolly Parton was my favorite character.
Yeah.
What about the janitor? You're already sidelining the janitor.
That's MVP.
Okay.
Most valuable.
Sure.
My favorite character was the copier.
The what?
The copier.
Xerox machine.
The machine? The giant
the copier.
Yeah. Because it was like almost, they made it in such a way that it was almost like anthropomorphic. That's a word.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Where it was like R2-D2.
Yeah.
Like he like made copies.
The first scene where we meet Xerox machine was great. Judy, Jane Fonda's character tries to like go make copies and it goes terribly. And it's some antics ensue.
Yeah.
But it's a longer scene than you would expect it to be.
Yeah.
But not quite to the point where the point is it's absurd that it's so long. I think that was really well done of being like, it's funny, but also like, this is a real shitty thing that could happen to your life of like working in an office. And then her boss comes in and like yells at her and she almost cries.
That scene.
And it's like, it I don't know, it kind of encapsulates part of the movie, which is this great balance of like being humorous, but not going quite to absurdity.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, this is real shitty office life and misogyny. And we're going to come right up to the point where it's like bonkers. So but not over it. So it's like, this is still like, hey, this is life.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because it's such a simple task. And I think it's such a universal moment of Lily Tomlin's character showing Jane Fonda's character. You just press this, this, and this, and it looks very simple. And then things start to go haywire. And there's a little bit of a like Lucille Ball, like conveyor belt moment in it. Some sort of classic comedy, but it's not. I think her emotion is so real. Like, she's not, like, Lucille Ball reacting. She's, like, honestly
You mean she's not stuffing upset. A bunch of pieces of paper into her mouth?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I would also watch that scene.
Absolutely.
But then at the end, when her boss, like, I mean, she's already feeling so defeated. And, like, you know that feeling. Like, oh man, I mean, I failed at like ice cream cone scooping my first job, and it's just such a miserable thing to fail at something that you know is simple. And I just wrote down feelings for that scene.
That scene.
Everything about it, yeah.
Sorry. That scene reminded me of when I was a temp at a place for a week and had to work on like a mail sorting machine. Mm. And it was like the same situation where they're just kind of like, oh, you just do this. Sometimes it jams and you just deal with it. I'm like, okay. And then it jammed all the time. So like I spent way too much time at the machine. And then they were like, what, you know, there was some other thing, other task I was supposed to do like during the day. I'm like, what have you been doing? I'm like, the machine just kept jamming. and it was very uncomfortable. And I was fired after a week.
Wow.
You got fired because the machine jammed?
I mean, it was that. And then they clearly weren't.
Was it like too modern a job? Like after you had worked all those old timey jobs? You just
How was it modern if it was just like a machine mechanically shoving mail into envelopes? That seems like right up my alley.
Your other jobs were pretty old fashioned.
I mean,
aren't you like boiling laundry? And...
No.
Boiling laundry.
I wasn't in a prison. Jesus.
Making candles.
I was at a candle factory. I did work at a candle factory. I did not get fired. I worked the full summer.
Ooh. Oh.
You're welcome.
Must be nice.
Was it like a Yankee candle factory? Like, did it smell a lot?
Oh, it smelled horrible. I still, because it was like a bunch of different scents being manufactured, or not manufactured, but like dealt with at once in the warehouse. So like to this day, if I go to a mall
and walk by Crabtree and
one of those like, yeah, one of those like candle and lotion stores, get a little nauseated.
Wow.
PTSD. Yeah.
And there are, so like any scented candle or scented any artificially scented anything is like a negotiation at my house.
Wow.
Mm.
Yeah, because of that experience.
But I've noticed you have that automatic mail sorter, so I guess
everything works out, yeah. Anyway, it was terrible. I felt demoralized, and also clearly they just didn't want me there because I'm not going to go into it, but I feel like I was tricked into making more errors so they could justify firing me.
What?
Yes.
Were you some kind of
conspiracy hippie?
Like, what?
Were you a patsy?
Were you smoking on the job?
No, I'm not going to go into it. It doesn't matter. It was like a week.
Okay. You know what, though? Mm. If your bosses had been these three competent women.
Oh, yeah.
You could have had job sharing.
Mm-hmm.
Which, can we just go on that tangent for a second? Why is job sharing not a thing?
I don't understand.
This movie was made 27 years ago, mm-hmm. and maybe it was new and interesting back then, but it still hasn't caught on. And I know there are so many highly accomplished, incredibly smart women who don't want to work 8-hour days or cannot work 8-hour days. And so they just get sidelined into the stupidest jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't they share a job with somebody else?
I don't know.
With somebody else who also has the same situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not that. It seems like it'd be easier than flexible hours. Why is this hard?
I don't know.
USA number five.
anyway, it's bummer town. Because the thing is you would need a big enough organization to make it work.
Yeah, you'd almost have to, like, consolidate a bunch of companies together.
Oh, man. But really, big companies don't want to take that kind of risk. Carpet. And so smaller companies, which might be interested in it, aren't big enough to do it.
Yeah.
What a racket.
Yes.
Thanks for listening to my story.
Condors are the biggest flying birds. I was right. Andean condor is the largest flying bird.
Great.
Wow. Do we think eagles are number five? Do we know?
Ooh, USA number five.
I didn't research.
Condor.
Sorry.
Buzzard.
Small buzzard.
Small buzzard. Some kind of rooster. Is that four or five? Did I already go too far?
Vulture. Did you say that?
I said buzzard.
Oh.
Speaking of roosters.
Yeah.
Dolly Parton has the folksiest way have ever heard of threatening to shoot someone's dick off.
It's amazing. Oh, it was so good.
Where in her fantasy about getting the boss, she threatens to turn him from a rooster into a hen with one shot.
So good.
Mm-hmm. As she's pointing a gun at him, maybe.
She's
the gun is implied, at least.
Yeah.
She says, I've got a gun in my purse and I'm not afraid to use it.
So good.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. That's not even in fantasy.
That's real life.
That's in real life.
But the movie, so not IRL.
Well,
what?
In IFL.
Yeah. That's
in
right.
Film life.
In got film it. Life.
Fake real life.
Oof, mm-hmm. Oh, got
FLRL.
It. Dora Lee is great.
Oh, she's amazing.
God bless her.
Yeah, I know she's probably Dolly. This is Dolly Parton's first movie.
That's what I thought. Someone said. Yeah. I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Before.
Mm-hmm.
She is great. I mean, she's kind of playing a version of herself.
Yeah.
Right. But crushes it.
Crushes so,
every yeah. single line.
Yeah.
And she's like at the beginning, you like feel for her because like she's like, do you want to go yeah. to lunch with me? And she's like, no, I think it would be better if I didn't do that. And then she's like, all right, and like walks away sad. No, she doesn't walk away. I'm having a real hard time.
It's been like 20 no, minutes.
But that is a great moment where the one with the glasses walks away.
Judy.
Judy.
And then
Jane Fonda.
And then she looks back and Dolly Parton's still looking at her. And so she like snaps her head back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Dolly great. Parton is married to the most adorable
Dwayne.
Character, Dwayne.
Oh. He makes them barbecue.
Yeah, he is so sweet, I mean, and he loves her.
And he just plays guitar on in his bed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and then sleeps through plot important phone calls while she's talking.
Yeah, sleeps through conversations about getting guns. Yeah, and like getting loose.
A man that is clearly trapped somewhere. Oh, yeah. Dwayne.
I feel like she might have told Dwayne. They seem really close.
They seem like a healthy. They have a healthy.
Dwayne would healthy be cool relationship. With it.
Dwayne would definitely be cool with it. He'd be like,
yeah. It's probably the best man in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think
yeah.
Dwayne would really just like let them take care of that situation?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be like, "You've got it."
I yeah. think yeah. he
it's
would
fine.
Be like,
"You have your boss tied up in his house."
Yeah, I feel all like good. Dwayne.
He'd be like, "I haven't seen you this happy in a long time."
Yeah, and he maybe you know he'd be like, you know, if you need a help. You just mm-hmm. call old Dwayne. Like,
and she's like, I got this.
Yeah, I've got a gun in my purse. I'll castrate him.
He like sings a song that he wrote for her.
Yes. Oh, Dwayne.
Darlene. Darlene.
Are you thinking of Jolene?
Yeah, but her name's Darlene.
Oh.
It's not Darlene.
It's not close. Darlene.
Can I delete that channel from the recording?
Yeah, he is definitely the best man because we also meet Judy's ex-husband,
Dick.
Who is we meet as he is serving divorce papers in a tracksuit.
The tracksuit is great.
Tracksuit is amazing.
It's the best part of Adam.
Yeah, it's
yes.
the only
yeah.
redeeming part about him.
Well, I also like that he was a creep, but not like
a surprising creep.
Yeah, like he.
Come on,
I'm just gonna start laughing every time I try to describe any parts of the movie. Now she's. Reading a book.
Yes. Very important. This is very crucial information.
And all you see is a shadow outside, and you're like, "Who dat?"
She's
who that creep.
She's
yeah,
a, yeah. She's
and then
at
she,
the, okay.
Yeah, she's and she picks out a book from the library. And then he's like there at the door.
Kids tell a story.
It really is.
They pick up on the most amazing details.
I can't. He's great.
Yeah. Yeah, because we learned, like, he divorced Judy, goes to Mexico with Liza.
His secretary, which is why she's so sensitive about, yeah.
Yeah. But then he apparently comes back and just, like, stalks her for a couple days.
Yeah. So creepy.
For 2 days to make sure she's alone in the house Ooh. That she's in.
Creepy as hell.
And then, like, has the gall to, when he thinks he finds out that she's into weird sex stuff.
Yeah, when it's really her boss attached to a garage door yeah. opener.
Then he has the gall to, like, accuse her of being a weirdo and how he was going to take her back, but now he won't.
Ask her to come back to him.
Oh, he's not
he's
the
low.
Worst. Cause...
But I also love that Judy doesn't lie.
Yeah.
He's like, who is that man? She goes, he's my boss.
Yeah.
It's just the best.
Yeah.
When
he knocks on the door, he says, can I come in? That was another important detail.
Ooh, is he a vampire?
Yes. 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 Yes.
Okay.
He is. Absolutely.
Is that what happened in Mexico? Because he wasn't at the beginning because he's in daylight when he receives the divorce papers.
Yep.
Then he goes to Mexico. Liza.
She's
in the
secretary.
Car.
Yeah.
He gets turned into a vampire in Mexico for sure.
The movie Dust From Dust Till Dawn happens.
Yes.
Yeah.
He comes back.
He comes back. And he wants to turn her to a vampire.
And she is dressed exactly for that part.
Yes.
She is wearing that silky, long, modest, yet revealing,
mm-hmm.
especially around the neck area.
Oh.
What do you call it? Nightgown.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She looks exactly like every victim in every vampire movie.
Yep.
Did I tell you that I used to I was so afraid of these vampire movies because these ladies would be like in that outfit basically, and they'd be lying in bed asleep with their neck exposed.
Yeah.
And so I slept with the covers up around my chin for like most of my life.
I think I've heard that story.
Because yeah. I was like,
yeah, I don't know if our listeners so have easy. Heard that story.
But why have we heard that story?
Oh.
Psycho?
Maybe Psycho.
Psycho.
Did we think someone was a vampire? Tweet at us. If you've heard the Psycho episode.
It was one episode ago?
I don't know, man.
I can't remember.
I literally can't remember like 15 minutes ago.
Yes, no.
What did we even talk psycho about in the vamp? Beginning of this
Is that
this
the hashtag?
Half?
Yeah, hashtag yes, no, psycho vamp.
Okay, great.
Anyway, Jen Fonda mm-hmm. was wearing a nightgown.
And her husband is a vampire. For sure.
100%.
No question.
But she booted him, man.
She yeah, the boot. She did.
She yeah. rescinded her invitation, yep. and he had to get out.
Yeah,
and
it was
he
great.
Was sucked out of the door.
Yeah, and he went.
Magic.
Bleh, no.
And he turned anyway. Into a bat.
Yes.
Oh, he's that's what we didn't hear his tires.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then Violet's husband is just dead. So.
Oh, that's
is that true?
Yeah, yeah, she made a great, widow. Maybe the first, the most introduction of the movie.
Efficient exposition ever.
Yeah, but also I think. The first like solid jokes, you're like, oh, this movie's gonna be great because mm-hmm. she says something where they're like, oh, this new woman's starting, give her a break, she's just divorced, and she's like, oh, I'm just a widow with four kids, I wish she'd lived so we could have had, I don't know, I could have had a better life, I could have divorced him. It was a good joke.
She's got
I
some good
butchered
burns.
It she is great
is that friends. When she's putting up the garage door.
No, that's no. when she is.
Very first part
yeah, when her
movie.
First scene comes in.
When going, Jane Fonda comes in, she's brand new.
Garage. The garage you door know. Scene is when she's talking to her cool son in his cool jeans.
Josh.
So Josh. Cool.
Who is telling her she needs to relax, and he means relax with marijuana drugs.
Yeah,
and Dan, for you specifically, that is where at one point in the background, grandma, presumably grandma, or just some scary clown murderer, is just like in their yard. In the window.
I mean, she might be the queen vampire who is also a daywalker and has unlocked that power for all we know.
Unlocked that power?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, grandma in the background
it's
is
terrifying.
So crazy.
It's actually terrifying.
I thought it was an old man in a neck brace. But then they clearly say it's grandma, but she's just like staring down that window
yeah.
through the garage. And it's like a little blurry.
There wasn't really supposed to be an extra there. Like that is the ghost haunting this movie.
I believe so. Okay. Yes. That just appeared on the film negative.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they were like, we better ADR something in here.
Yeah. Yeah. Secret director Joe Dante was like, it's a ghost grandma. Who cares?
And then M. Night Shyamalan saw this movie. It was like, like an alien movie. Where something creepy happens in the background.
It's right. just like Ghost, though, in that there is something for everyone. There is something for everyone in this movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's
car
weed.
Driving.
There's weed.
There's weed.
There's ladies.
There's cartoon hospital. Animals.
Cartoon animals.
Cartoon cops.
What?
I mean, they're not cartoon
cartoonish
cops.
Cops.
Cartoonish.
So like buddy cops.
Yeah.
There's a hospital. There's cops and doctors. There's wisecracking.
Uh-huh. Keep going.
There's office montages.
Yep.
Office daycare montages.
Is that a...
There's a shopping scene.
There's babies.
There's lots of elevators opening and closing.
Mm-hmm.
It has...
Airplanes.
Oh, a big house and airplanes, and it's got international travel, and it has telephones.
Now who sounds like a kid? It has a big house and airplanes?
Good boy.
So well, we were way off in how we got to the point of capturing
way off
Dabney Coleman.
I mean, I knew it the whole time, but whatever.
Okay.
Yeah. Sure. But like, honestly, how did I forget all of that other stuff
right?
in the middle? I have no idea. I mean, I knew I didn't know how it happened.
Yeah, they...
I mean, you don't even know how it happened now, it sounds like.
I can't tell you.
Phone cord, throw him in the trunk of the car and drive to his house because his wife's out of town for 2 weeks after he... discovers Roz, goddamn it, Roz.
Yep.
After Roz creeps on him in the bathroom.
Oh yeah, and takes
she's
notes
taking
on
a double
toilet
decker.
Oh yeah, double decker.
Beth shouted out. And she's creeping up on top of the toilet to listen in on everybody. Yeah. Roz is maybe the most tragic character of this movie.
Yes.
Because she desperately wants Mr. Hart's approval,
mm-hmm.
even though he's the worst.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she turns on her fellow woman. Just for the approval of some disgusting, mustachio.
What was the word? What was the turn of phrase they used in other fantasies?
Hypocritical bigot.
We missed
egotistical.
Yeah,
is in there.
Sexist, egotistical.
Lying.
It was a good.
Yeah, it was a good one.
It was a good.
It was a good. Oh, Roz. But they trick Roz into, yeah. I guess, you know what? To the credit of these ladies, their scheme to get Roz out of the hair was still empowering.
Yeah.
It was like, we'll have the boss, we'll pretend the boss is sending her to like a educational opportunity.
Yeah.
Because, you know, even if there isn't actually a branch being opened in France, she has now learned French.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a skill mm-hmm. that she can use.
Yeah. She most certainly learned the word for shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jokes.
The last line is she goes, holy merde.
Mm. Yep.
While wearing a little
beret with a French flag pin
on it.
That joke makes a lot more sense to me now because in my head, I was thinking of what's the French word for sea?
Mare.
Finn?
Mare.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So I thought she was saying holy sea or holy ocean. And I was like, I don't really understand what she's saying.
Holy sea because she like misread or misspelled it in the first place and was talking about, isn't that like a Pope thing? Holy sea?
Huh?
S-E-E?
Oh.
Pope heads, tweet at us. What that? Holy sea. All you papal heads?
Yeah.
Papal heads.
Okay, yeah. And you know, I want to say...
Isn't that the word that refers to Pope things? Papal?
Papal.
Papal.
Oh, whatever.
PayPal. Yeah.
Come at me.
PayPal.
Come at me, PayPal heads.
I mean, PayPal heads, feel free to tell us what the Holy See is, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But don't sue us, Peter Thiel.
Does he own PayPal?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Right?
Anyway.
Holy jeez.
USA number five.
But I do want to say, so there's a very funny moment where Dabney Coleman's character, the boss, Mr. Hart, is giving... kind of a weird pep talk that's just misogynistic and horrifying at the very beginning when
Judy's first day,
and he's going on about you girls didn't get to play football or baseball, so you don't know about teamwork.
Ooh.
But I'm really sorry you missed out on that because it's like my coach used to say, and he like just starts rattling off this string of horrifying cliches. And I mean, I know this doesn't need to be pointed out, but I did find it so amazing that throughout this movie, they keep coming back to this very oddly collaborative instinct and this very teamwork idea of like we're all in it together, mm-hmm. even when any of them could have peeled off.
Mm-hmm.
And that idea kind of held together some of the plot pieces where you'd be like, actually, you know, you could walk away from this hospital scenario right now and be unaffiliated and let Violet take the fall. But they never do that. They've made it a character trait in part in defiance of
what I'm hearing. Is that mm-hmm. because of the lesson they were given by a man, they were able to succeed in this adventure.
What I'm saying is that lesson by the man was some bullshit who didn't understand about teamwork. It was basically like preaching to the choir, except you're not the preacher.
You're the Holy
See. You're the opposite. You're the worst.
The anti-see.
You're the blind see. No, I don't know. What's the opposite?
Of what?
Opposite.
What's the opposite of holy?
No.
Moly.
The moly sea.
No, I just mean it's like it's one thing for the preacher to preach to the choir. It's another for a sinner to preach to the choir. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying he was doing. He was a sinner preaching to the choir.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
They understood teamwork more powerfully than he did.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Because
of the sisterhood.
What?
The sisterhood?
If you bring up traveling pants, so help me God.
No, I'm just talking in broad terms.
Oh, okay.
I've heard about it.
Jokes.
Didn't mean that one.
So that pause was because I blew your minds? Because there's like this pause and this weight in the air, and I can't tell if it's like because you just want to move on to the next thing.
No, man, it's because we have four different microphones and it's freaking us all out.
We don't know where to look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every time we say anything, we hear our own voice.
And it's
thanks
horrible.
A lot, patrons.
Yeah, thanks a lot, patrons.
We used to have one Yeti in the middle of the table. Beth was the only one who wore earphones, and we understood the world.
All we could hear was Gertie whining and licking her treat.
Yeah. Now it's just the freezer and me smacking my lips.
It's a brave new world.
It's a brave new world.
America number five.
His mustache.
Oh, boy.
God damn it. His
mustache.
I feel like I nailed that.
You wanted to call it a porn stash, but not use that term. I would say it was fuller than what I consider a porn stash.
Agreed.
But not quite a push broom.
No.
I don't think that's what I described. I think if we go back,
I just call
that
standard mustache.
Douche stash. Just a douche stash.
But it was just kind of a standard. I would say standard mustache. I would agree with that.
Yeah, that's fine.
Thank you.
I think.
You're welcome. The sisterhood.
I guess it was the way he handled it that made it worse than it actually was shaped.
He's touching it.
Yeah. Oh, that part where he's like just stroking the tips of it.
First time you see him, he's like rubbing his mustache.
Messing with it.
Twirling that stash.
Rough.
Oh, that guy. Yeah, he was not good.
He was not good. Here's something I'm curious about from the rest of the sisterhood at the table.
Let's dish.
There was a certain element of this movie where I felt like I was not going to appreciate it fully, and it's fine mm-hmm. for me not to do that. But like the real actual gross office and other power moves that happen in this movie are like, correct me if I'm wrong, but they're like actual, not exaggerated mm-hmm. in
yeah.
any way.
That first part examples of the movie feels very real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
where it's like, I am way too qualified to get you coffee. I don't know why I'm getting you coffee right now. Or just like the tasks like that.
Yeah, like tasks you wouldn't ask men to do. Mm-hmm. Even if it's something like setting up the catering or doing food orders or any party planning, almost always goes to women no matter what they're doing in the office. The part about her sending in a report and her boss taking full credit for it, I mean, that is very, very common. Also the insistence on compliments being understood as compliments and not creepy. And it's not even so much like I've been really lucky, and I can't believe it. I had one male boss and he was awesome. He was so great. Really easy to work with and I never had any problems at all. But I knew women who, they would have a reputation even though they were hardworking and clearly earned things, that there was just some implication that, well, she's really pretty. Mm. It's like, why don't you complete that thought? Mm-hmm. What the fuck do you think happened? Because are you saying something happened? Because you better have the balls to say you think something happened. Otherwise, that's some real shitty shit talk to be doing. And I guess I'm pretty angry about it. But you know what I mean? Like, that shit happened. So. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, it's in hindsight, I'm like, I can't believe this movie managed to present this in a humorous way. Oh, one more thing that I thought was like fucking spot on was Dolly Parton's reactions and redirections of all of that were impeccable and exactly spot on. And it's part of why it continues is because women are so good at redirecting and moving on and getting around these things. Mm-hmm. But it's some shit. I don't know that everything's as explicit as it was in this movie, but that shit happens.
Yeah, thank you. I was having this feeling of like there's a real depth and honesty to this that like I understand on one level of like, oh yeah, things are terrible for women sometimes, a lot of the times. But there's like that level and then like seeing the actual things and never having to experience them.
Mm-hmm.
That's good for me.
Yeah, it was.
But I doesn't, it can't resonate with me because it doesn't happen to me.
There I thought the Dolly Parton's character's fantasy, it was a really interesting scene because like, you know, they're all kind of like wackadoo because they're all like these sort of cartoonish worlds in her. And even she's got like, she's coming in on a horse and it turns into like a thing where she's like at a rodeo or she's like roping him. But like the whole part before that where she's just like, harassing him, like switching the genders, like it was presented with, I don't know, it was just so fascinating because like it was presented in the same tone as the rest of the movie, which was like pretty light and sort of like this is a comedy, but it was also like done so straightforward that it like wasn't actually funny. It was just sort of like, oh, the joke is this happens to women all the time. Well, you know what I mean? Like,
what I loved about that scene too is you got the impression she was repeating back exact scenarios that happened to her.
Oh, for sure.
It didn't feel like an exaggerated version of the way she would get back at him. It was mostly just putting him in her position.
Yeah.
And also, it was actually really nice, too, to see Dabney Coleman play that version of the character.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you just totally forget he's acting.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you start to...
he does a... I thought that the whole time. I was like, oh, he's doing a really good job.
Mm-hmm.
He's not just the shitty character. Like, he's actually acting.
Yes.
He, like, does a good job of playing this sort of demure sex object man.
Yeah. And he plays that level of entitlement to the fullest. You know what I mean? He's not like... I mean, he is literally twirling his mustache in the opening scene, so I can't say he's like a mustache-twirling villain, but he kind of is, but he does it better than that somehow.
Yeah, like it's not, like it is like a Looney Tunes cartoon a lot, but even when he is being just like full-on creep supreme, like they could have, you know, come in, I don't know, like sort of like what we're talking about, like it's sort of still hitting on these very real scenarios in office politics. Like he didn't go full-on like... transforming into a wolf head and like howling at Dolly Parton, you know what I mean? Like that was like he was like edging towards it, but he still felt like a pretty real human being, you know?
Yeah, he played it in such a way that was like, oh, this is bad, but also like it's probably there are cases where it's worse in reality, like it wasn't so wackadoo wolf head. That'd be great. Anyway, misogyny. That's where he does get hogtied, which was a bet
Beth made,
and I double-damned on. Good job.
And he was over a spit.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And a bit.
Yep.
He's on a spit.
On a spit, over a bit.
Over a bit. Spit and pit.
Can't win in this episode.
I like the way, you know, Lily Tomlin's character has this old, like, one of those super wide, old 1970s cars.
Yeah.
Which conveys so much about, like, her as a family person. But also, it's a two-door with a really long bench seat. So it has all of these opportunities for the three of them to always be filmed right next to each other and really equally presented in the frame.
Mm-hmm.
And there are, like, 1,000 shots of the three of them together that are hilarious just by virtue of the way they set it up. It was a really... You guys, this is a really good movie. It was really good. I really liked it. If anybody didn't like it, I don't want to hear from you.
Wow.
No, I do. It's fine.
Tweet
I
at us.
It's part of
the Molly.
Thing. Like, can we talk? Hashtag.
Like, hey, Molly, I didn't like this movie.
Fine, it's okay. Sure.
No golf clubs in his office.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there were. They just weren't visible.
Oh, sure. And can I make a very strange pivot?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. What could someone explain to me what the deal is with Violet's, like, desk jacket versus her, like, walking around jacket? You know what I'm talking about?
Understand.
I got it.
She'd, like, switch jackets, right? We all know. We're all on the same page. What I'm talking
coffee,
about.
She always takes the jacket off.
But then, like, in the beginning, like, when she's showing Judy around, she's got her little, like, kind of kimono-esque thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then at some point, she takes that off and puts on, like, more of a, like, suit jacket. And then it seems like later on she does it again, where, like, sometimes she's got the, like, kimono-esque thing, and then she takes it off and puts on another jacket, depending on, like, what she's doing in the office.
Maybe it's, like, a Mr. Rogers-type scenario, where she has, like, an outside cardigan and an inside cardigan.
Okay.
Probably the AC is turned up too high, and so she has to wear a sweater inside.
But it's... But
it's, like, silk. Silk does not, like, keep you warm.
Thin. Oh, I don't know.
So what I would guess,
okay.
I mean, one is that it's an instrument of expressing her exasperation. So she takes it off and throws it down every time she's getting up to get coffee.
Sure.
So that's just a theatrical conceit.
Okay.
But I will say having a jacket.
Why does she swap, though, is my question.
I mean, I don't know. I think I know what you're talking about. I mean, I have a theory that goes with that. And I also feel like that was later in time when she was wearing the other jacket. But I would say, too, like, it's not that uncommon to have an office jacket that you have available for when you have to go in and talk to the big boss versus the more comfortable but still professional jacket that you can wear around the floor.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
And so then, like, you know, one of the executive lady pieces of advice is to always have a black jacket or a simple plain jacket at your desk that has pockets in it that you can keep all your stuff in so you never have to walk around with a purse.
Because of muggers?
No, because it looks unprofessional and too ladyish.
But like office muggers.
Right, because ladyish is not professional.
Right.
Yeah.
But also bandits who hide behind office.
Yeah, like,
and
like
slip on banana peels.
Great. But yeah, the AC was definitely up too high because statistically that happens all the time because the climate in offices is generally set by men who wear suits.
Yep.
But also,
that's interesting.
I read about a study that showed that women do feel colder than men.
Yes.
Like at the same temperature, wearing the same type of gear, women feel colder.
I believe, on average, their bodies naturally focus heat in a specific area more than men.
Yeah.
Are you gesturing to the womb?
I am.
Do you guys want to hear more about how women's bodies
work? Yeah, how does my body work? That is interesting, though. I didn't know the fact about the that the men set the temperature.
They would often do that.
I mean, of the world, it's clear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, sure. Oh.
Creep Supreme was not gagged with a necktie, as I predicted.
Well, kind of. Not a men's necktie.
Oh.
He was gagged with it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He got a scarf stuffed in his mouth.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Lily Tomlin's character is forced to go buy a scarf for her boss's wife, but it turns out he gives it to his secretary instead, which at first she interprets to mean that the secretary is having an affair. And then later she finds out the truth.
Oh, man, I felt so bad for Dora Lee.
Oh.
How everyone was just like, oh, she's sleeping with the boss, so they wouldn't associate with her.
Yeah, they all put the scarlet letter on her and shun her from the lunch tribe.
Yeah. Oh, there's that scene where she's just in the background alone at her own table.
I had forgotten, but I must have blocked it out. Oof. Yeah, it's very sad.
But then she gets high with ladies and they're best friends forever.
Yeah.
Legalize it.
Thanks to Josh.
Her cool Lily Tomlin's cool son.
That's just thanks again to a man for
providing the tools that they needed.
To loosen their brains, free their minds.
Expand their minds a little bit. To have cartoon fantasies where a rabbit knits a gravestone.
But he probably got it from Insane Grandma.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, the
Queen Vampire.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, Ghost I got Grandma. This from the pharmacy. After I murdered the pharmacist and took his life essence.
We should talk more explicitly about the fantasies to do away with the boss, because
they're amazing.
Dolly Parton's has lasso edits, which is the best edit I've ever seen in my entire life.
It's amazing. The rope goes up and grabs the corner, the upper left-hand corner, pulls it down.
Amazing.
It's great.
That's amazing. In the, kill the monster chase scene where they're all with torches and stuff.
Yeah.
There's another MVP of mine in there.
Okay.
There's a guy with a rope just running around and shaking it. he's real loose with his movements, but he's got just a bunch of rope and he's just shaking it.
It's not even shaped tied up in a noose or anything.
It's so good.
Just rope?
Yeah.
Oh, that's really good.
And then, yes, the cartoon animals in Lily Tomlin's are amazing.
They're all wearing weird little costumes for no reason.
It's all...
They're like forest creatures.
Yeah. She's definitely dressed as Snow White.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
And I guess maybe a costume's not trademarked. I don't know. But it's for sure Snow White.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then the characters are almost Disney characters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? I wonder if they Robin Hood characters.
Yeah, they wear clothes to not be trademarked
Disney
woodland
doesn't
creatures.
Have a beaver. There was definitely a beaver.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't there? No, I'm never.
I think
there
was
a raccoon with a bone arrow.
I apologize.
A beaver with a little
fist
neck thing.
Mm-hmm.
A little bunny rabbit.
Knitting rabbit.
Knitting rabbit. Two bluebirds.
Two bluebirds.
Yep.
A la some other head of bluebird.
That racist thing from years ago.
What's happening?
I'm trying to remember which.
Cinderella
where the bluebird
has bluebirds.
Oh, yeah. Maybe that's what it was.
Mm-hmm. It's a line from a song.
Yeah.
It's a bluebird on my shoulder.
That's the racist one.
Oh, okay. Song of the South.
Yeah.
Okay. Ooh. Got it.
But yeah, Cinderella has bluebirds. We'll focus on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then there was a deer with also a weird little kind of perfunctory something around its neck. Yeah. So it also had a costume.
It was like a Bambi.
Yeah.
A Bambi type.
Somebody had to hand draw that on that film, right?
I know.
Yeah.
Make that happen.
That's...
Dang.
That's, what I love the most about that particular scene. The whole fantasy thing was ridiculous, because, one, that was, I swear to God, that was, a fourth of the runtime of the movie. It's let's do this.
They also went one beat longer than you might expect them to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's the catch him, and then Like, she could have, in the shoot him thing, she could have shot him in the office, and that would have been an end. But there's, like, a whole nother beat where she chased him to the bathroom.
And then we get the Looney Tunes. Oh, damn.
No. Microphone down.
Guys, I'm still learning how to gesture with the new setup. I apologize. Took the microphone
down. Yeah, anyway, they're all, like, one beat longer than.
Yeah.
Not that they needed to be. Like, they were still good.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's kind of the whole thing of this movie. It kind of went a little farther than you might expect it to, but not too far.
Yeah. It was weird. Just the fact that, like, someone at some point was like, yeah, let's pay for the animators. Like, this workplace comedy we're making, let's go find some animators so they can do this one scene.
Yeah.
Commitment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, everything was
and
really
even the
well
movie
done.
Magic of the bluebird picking up the spoon.
Oh, yeah.
So they had to get, like, a spoon magic. Guy.
Yeah. I don't even know how they did that. Movie magic.
Oh, pretty sure it was on a wire.
Come on, Molly.
Okay, well.
Yeah, I think it was magic. They had to get a
magician
on set.
Actual magician.
He's like in the corner with a wand.
Oh, that'd be amazing. Oh, so you want me to put the spoon from there over there? Yeah. Alakazoo, alakazam.
Do you think in that scene he screwed up and unleashed Grandma Vampire?
He's like reading from the ancient tome, and it's like he sneezes at the wrong time, and then the
ghost. And then a mother and daughter trade bodies.
Yes.
Gong.
What?
Ooh, what if Lillian Tomlin and her son trade bodies in a sequel? That'd be fun. Teenage guy who likes to get stoned has to figure out how to make it in the workplace.
Oh, be like the VP of whatever.
Yeah, she's got to figure out how to stay cool.
She was pretty cool.
No, but I mean, you know, Josh cool.
Yeah.
No one's Josh cool.
Josh was really cool.
I did like that
she...
had
a yellow t-shirt on.
And there's tight jeans.
Tight jeans. Cool.
I did really like that they didn't bother with any sort of like, hey, what are you doing with that wacky weed? Like, Lily Tomlin was just like, yeah, whatever. You can smoke. I don't care.
Yeah, she was cool.
She was cool.
Yeah. What a cool mom.
What a cool mom. What a
cool mom.
A mature woman fixing a garage door opener, and he still calls me girl.
Yeah, that is offensive.
It is. Ugh. It really is.
Colonel Sanders was in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Both Beths were right, because I feel like Beth had a bet, or maybe it was other Dan, about there being a superior and a conversation between the superior and the main boss guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that doesn't sound very precise when I describe it now, but
I sort of predicted that they would, the superior would find out that everything had gone so well under the women's leadership, and then would have everything work out well, and sort of, but in my imagination, he would get rid of Dabney Coleman in a more punitive way.
By firing him.
Yeah.
Yes, but instead he gets... Promoted,
which is what happens.
Yeah,
right.
People just get promoted.
You get promoted to a place he didn't want to be in, but he'll probably go creep it up in Brazil and be fine. Honestly, he's probably going to be fine.
Well, the post credits said that he disappeared in the jungle.
No, you're right. He got never killed by natives.
But it was a little
yikes.
Is that what it said?
Yeah, it said jungle tribe.
Oh,
and then he was never seen again.
Yeah.
Oh,
there was coming back to sort of the dark undercurrent of this movie that isn't so much dark as just like a reflection of reality.
Yeah.
Like instead of him just coming in just like, oh, I'm the movie Santa Claus, you women win business. He like talked about all the great things they had accomplished. But then there is even that moment where he's just like, except for that equal pay thing, right? We're going to have to cut that up.
Yeah,
and like there is nothing to suggest that that did not happen because he is the chairman of the board. So, like, as much as they succeeded, the women, like, succeeded in their lives afterwards, like, you know, the general policy of the company still, like, took some dives in terms of women's equality.
Well, we would have equal pay now if he had agreed to it.
Yeah. If Colonel Sanders had... You're saying that if in 1980...
Yes.
If Colonel Sanders had been like, I especially love the equal pay thing, new president of the United States, Ronald Reagan, would see that movie... Be like, ah, oh, that's the. I can't do a Reagan.
Oh, that was pretty good.
That's the great idea. Nancy, come in here. Would you like to get paid the same as me for being the first lady? And then she'd be like, I'm completely sober because I said no to drugs. Yep. And then they both.
Or maybe she wouldn't be because she would have also seen the movie and been like, oh, I guess pot isn't that bad.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And then hashtag legalize it.
Oh. Right. They, okay, so what would have happened is equal pay for women in 1980.
Yeah.
Hashtag legalize it in 1980. Still no acknowledgement of AIDS for like way too long because that didn't come up in this movie.
Race relations untouched.
Yeah.
I mean, barely. At the very beginning.
Acknowledged.
Yeah, but even then, like.
Not in any way.
Reagan would have just been like, well, let's get some of those boys out of the mailroom. Yeah. But what would that mean?
You still count on boys.
Yeah. That's
Come on,
yeah.
Reagan.
Jesus. Yeah, Reagan.
I bet that there would be a shoulder pad hat trick. No.
There was one set of shoulder pads for sure. I did notice on your behalf.
Who had them?
Judy?
Once I saw Dolly Parton didn't have them, I was like, I'm not paying attention.
If Dolly doesn't have them, then it
doesn't matter.
All bets
are off. Also, this passed the extra Bechdel-Wallace test.
Oh, yeah.
When?
In that characters who were not the main characters were named and had conversations that had nothing to do with the boss.
Margaret and Betty?
The lady who was fired and then brought back.
And brought back. Maria. She had a first and last name.
Yes.
And so did Margaret. Everybody had a first and last name.
Yeah.
Well, it's almost as if they were real people.
It can be done in a movie.
It's almost like a woman at least co-wrote this screenplay.
Yeah. I wonder if she wrote it and then they brought in that dude to...
Punch it up.
Punch it up.
Maybe.
Or like she wrote it and then he took credit for it by just putting his name on there.
Oh, and he was like, no, this is just exemplifying what the movie is about.
Yeah.
So.
Let's take the optimistic route and let's think that she and the studio were like, this male character should be shittier. So let's get a man in here to authenticate it.
Yeah.
And he'd be and like, yeah, man, this is what I would say to a broad. And then they like immediately, you know, they just put him back.
He'd go back to smoking his cigar. Dabney did have a giant business cigar.
Yeah,
which
that
seemed particularly tickled.
I was like, he has a business cigar.
Yes, he did.
Oh, great. Man. Classic. And at one point, Dolly Parton got to make a little cigar joke.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she actually did a little Groucho Marx.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was awesome. It was like, it served no purpose. She literally just picked up a cigar and said, "Sointly," and then it cut to another scene, and it was amazing.
Yeah. Good cuts in this movie.
Great cuts.
A lot of good, like, what are we going to do about that? Cut. It's resolved.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
Oh, so
love it.
And then there was that when they were doing their shopping to trap their boss montage,
mm-hmm.
and it cut to the Butch collars, like cardboard cutout of a dog with the collar, and then it like zoomed out to Dabney Coleman in the same collar.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
classy.
That reminds me of one of my other movies. Is a mannequin that just goes in the background that's wearing like insane rainbow clothes.
Yeah, there's just a guy carrying a mannequin in like crazy party clothes. Like swiftly walking across, like it was not even just like, oh, just putting the mannequins over. Like, this person had a place to be.
Yeah. There are two too many mannequins in this movie.
In that there are two.
Mm-hmm.
Where was the other one?
It was where it was like had the
flight suit.
The flight suit on
the hang glider outfit.
Does the taxidermy deer count as a mannequin?
No,
okay. A deerkin
deer.
Did those creep you out?
No.
Oh, really?
It's a real deer.
So, all right.
Oh, don't do not.
Well, because they're not, like, if I saw a taxidermied human,
yeah.
I'd be like, get
that's
the
where
fuck
I was
out of
here. Everybody would.
But that's what I'm saying is, like a deer statue wouldn't creep me out.
It's kind of like the human bodies exhibit. That freaked me out.
Oh, yeah. I didn't want to go to that.
I also thought it was cool.
But wasn't there, like, a whole thing about, like...
Yeah, there were some questionable things about they were all Chinese prisoners or something like that.
Oh, yeah?
Or, like, they dug up the bodies.
One of them was Chinese prisoners.
Oh, that's too bad.
One of them was maybe more on the up and up where people like donated their bodies.
Yeah, just get a donation.
But it depends on which one you went to.
Oof.
Look it up.
I went to one here in Minneapolis.
I also did. I don't know which one it was.
That's Body Works?
Yeah, I don't know which one is the bad one.
Tweet at us.
Yeah.
Hashtag witch dad Body Works.
Ooh.
Oh, very good.
I feel real good about that one.
You know what's funny too about this movie is there are a couple of jokes that fall flat because we're so accustomed to the pattern, you know, because this is a 27-year-old movie. But there's and so much great elevator work. Like, I really can't emphasize to you that, but there's really great elevator work. But there's one where I forget what the line is. Like, is he downstairs? And then, you know, the doors close and then the doors open and they're like, he is downstairs. This is not the line. The line of dialogue is much better than that.
Could you explain the scene?
I wasn't listening because I was doing math in my head. We keep saying it's 27 years, but it was made in 1980 and I am 28.
Oh, shit. 37, 37
it's
years?
It's 37 years.
I think I knew that, but I couldn't make it that high.
It's almost a 40-year-old movie.
Wow. Oh, my God. Still.
Wait, that can't be true.
That can be true because I am in my 40s.
Whoa.
Holy. I mean, not very far.
We are all 35 years old.
That's right. We're all a healthy and hearty 35.
I said I was 28, but what I meant was I was 35.
Right.
What movie do you describe?
Oh, my God.
Oh, no, I'm doing the line wrong. But anyway, that pattern of like somebody saying a thing and then a quick cut and a different character repeating it because they've just learned it. It's in Friends a lot. It's in a lot of.
I see what this is. Okay.
It's in a lot of shows, but I'm just
hear
saying.
That. Get it? That was a good joke. That was a really good Friends joke. There's an episode where they're moving a couch and they keep yelling pivot, and she's pivoting to a Friends topic.
Bazinga.
Oh, is that? Okay.
Math.
Bazinga's the pivot of.
Candler Bing.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
What?
Making Friends references. It's terrible.
Great.
And I'm making the only Big Bang Theory reference I know, which is Bazinga. Yeah. Or Green Lantern t-shirt.
How you doing?
Oh, yeah, you could say Green Lantern t-shirt.
That's the other one.
Green Lantern t-shirt.
Hey, look at my t-shirt of the Green Lantern.
Oh, science.
It's me, Sheldon.
Oh, I get it.
$1,000 a month, patrons. Yeah. Big Friends Bang.
I mean, I don't know. Mean,
it makes the $75 a month seem really attainable.
Absolutely.
What are we doing? What are we doing for that again?
75. Yeah, a single person has to do 75.
Yes.
Okay, I see.
To Beth.
To Beth directly.
Podcast, that's not doesn't go to the 1,000 that we need for Big Friends Bang.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's going straight
separate,
to Beth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the Ajax warehouse of our Patreon reward system.
Because it's empty?
Well, because it's like being diverted to one person.
Oh, got it.
Oh, yeah.
Shell game.
Yeah.
Extrapolation.
That was another just like tangent they went on where like the three ladies legitimately went sleuthing to figure out he was embezzling money from the company.
It has something for everyone.
It does.
Oh, yeah. That never really.
I absolutely mean, did.
Because he played back them because he got loose early enough to fill the warehouse with stuff.
But then shouldn't there still be like two invoices now for the same thing?
No, because he bought it on his own.
Oh, he bought all that stuff.
Yeah.
So he unembezzled money.
Yes,
sort of. Well, so they still got him to not have that money that he embezzled before.
Sure, but he still had all of his other money.
Sure.
And his gigantic
house. His
house
is so big.
It's absurdly.
It had so many dead things on the wall.
Yeah.
Lots of taxidermy birds.
It seriously
it's
looked
like an English manor.
Yeah, or like what was that? What is that weird roadside hotel restaurant thing
hotel?
That was everywhere?
No.
Diners, drives, diners.
Oh,
Howard Johnson's?
Is that what it is?
Right? Is that it?
Howard it sounds Johnson's right.
Like what is it you're describing?
But it's also a hotel.
No, it was a hotel. Started
it was
as
both.
A hotel.
It's in Mad Men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking of.
Come on.
But that's what it looked like. It just looked like a big-ass building that like a lot of people would like drive up to and stay for a...
Yeah.
But it was just one guy's house.
Yeah, it was just one house.
Yeah.
Howard Johnson's.
Yes, it was... Originally Howard Johnson's house, but then Mr. Hart bought it from him when he got that great promotion, even though he'd been trained by Violet from the beginning.
Right.
And somehow made it all the way up to be her boss.
She'd never seen anyone promoted that fast.
Jesus.
She's been there for
12
years.
That's the secret, kids. Just be an asshole.
And everyone she trained got promoted ahead of her.
Mm-hmm.
Because men don't want to hear numbers from a lady.
Ooh, that was rough. That was a rough one.
Before we get to how we really feel about this movie, we like to read a review of our own podcast,
yeah.
Toast Recall, in the style, in the impression of a character from the movie we just watched, or another character if we feel so inclined. We do have a review that came in today.
Wow.
Amazing.
Good
timing.
Hot off the presses.
Well done.
So good job, Toadshead 04.
Yeah,
Toadshead 04.
I'm so flattered.
Does anybody feel particularly inspired by any?
I feel like Dolly Parton's got to do this one.
Yeah.
I think I can do it.
Dora Lee.
Okay, let me see, get Dora Lee. Let's see. It's a. I can make you a from a rooster to a hen in one shot. That's really not very good. Oh, okay. Great podcast, y'all. I added the y'all. 5 stars. Good job. Nice podcast. I'm not getting this at all. Does somebody want to do it in a different voice? 5 stars. Nope.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, that was
get that little drawl in there.
Good job. Nice podcast. I liked it. Yeah, pretty good. Ellipses. Dot, 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 dot. Shruggy emoticon. So that's a dash, backsplash, underscore,
yep.
Left parentheses,
yep.
Quotation marks.
Nope,
what is it?
Say it in the microphone, Dan.
Tsu.
Tsu.
I believe that's katakana.
Oh, my God.
I lived in Japan for 2 years.
No big deal.
right parentheses, underscore, forward slash. What would you say? Is that a top slash? Is that some Japanese thing, too?
Oh, like a upper dash? I don't
upper
know what
dash.
That one is.
Upper dash.
I have no idea.
I mean, it's the shrug emoticon, but it's way up top.
Oh. It's the shrug, but it's ooh. Like made out of symbols.
What with that symbol?
Yeah.
Tweet
if,
at us.
If you know how to actually type out the shrug emoji.
Then first of all, I'm so impressed. Mm-hmm. And second of all, please
tweet at us.
Tweet at us. Thank you so much, Toteshead04. That is really kind and cool.
Thank you.
I hope this is everything you hoped it would be.
I mean... Pretty good, right? Isn't that what they said?
The voice of like Sean Connery or something?
Why would Sean Connery be in here?
I don't know.
What if Sean Connery was a boss?
Oh, you would like him too much.
I don't think you would.
I don't know.
Actually,
if he had a ponytail,
wait,
I would hate him.
What if Nick Cage was the boss?
Oh,
great.
Wow.
That movie would be
insane.
Totally different.
Can
insane.
You imagine him when he gets reeled up
oh
by the garage
God.
Door thing and has to flail and scream?
Oh, it'd be incredible.
Oh my God, that's the best movie ever made.
Oh, I'm up in the air.
God damn it, I'm gonna kill you all.
Yeah.
You broads.
Amazing. Great. If Sean Connery did it, it'd be too close to real life. Sorry, yeah. Hashtag tragedy.
Yep.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's kind of a monster.
No.
He's a known creepo.
Gross.
Yeah.
Ugh,
look
fine.
It up. Or don't, if you don't want to feel bad.
It's fine.
But maybe do. I don't know.
Dan, wow. You gave this movie 4 Molly's sacred memories.
Yes.
Because you thought it would be more than just a nice 80s movie.
Yeah. I would agree with earlier Dan's statement. It was more than a nice 80s movie, as we have detailed in great detail. Ooh,
yeah.
Butchered that. It had hashtag real talk about the patriarchy and women in the workplace and just capitalism in general. It was also funny.
Mm.
The performances were delightful. Mm-hmm. Everybody crushed it. Even the sub women.
Oh my God.
Oh no. Haven't you learned anything?
5 sacred memories.
What?
Wow.
Wow.
It was great. I had a great time.
Okay, podcast over.
What?
Just want to call it before it goes downhill.
Why do you just assume I'm the one who's gonna ruin it for you and I gave it 5?
Okay, let's
you've got
keep
a
going.
Great shot right now.
I'm hoping. All right, let's keep going.
Beth,
yes.
You also gave it 4 because you couldn't remember much of it and you
yeah.
thought you probably would remember more if it was a 5.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I really enjoyed it. I don't know that I can give it all 5 sacred memories, but I can definitely give it 4.5 because it's a very enjoyable movie. It's funny and delightful.
So it's like if for the last one, it's like if Molly was having like a pleasant dream of her childhood and then somebody like was startled awake.
Yeah. Like at the last second.
Yeah.
It's like, I
yeah.
was still good, but
or she was
oh,
like,
I wish I had completed
whoa,
it.
That went on a tangent for a while. That's more like what it would be.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
I guess it would be a 4, and then it would be a fun romp.
Mm.
Now, Molly, do you want to say what a romp is since you looked it up?
It's lighthearted. It's a lighthearted entertainment thing.
It's also energetic. I think that was one of the key.
Oh, barf. Yes, it was energetic also.
Anyway, I wouldn't say this is a romp. I feel like there's too much real talk to be a romp, which is neither good nor bad.
Yeah.
But... I think I agree with Beth at 4.5. It was really good, but there was a certain element of it not being for me.
Sure.
That, like, I couldn't Like, it was and it wasn't, right? It is like, hey, educate yourself, man.
Yeah.
But also, like, I couldn't feel it on its most basic level because of my privilege. And then also...
So you're punishing the movie because of your privilege.
Well, I'm not punishing the movie. I'm saying the level of my enjoyment.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
And then also when Dabney fell down and supposedly hit his head, I don't think that scene was done well.
Yeah, I agree.
That's minus half star right there.
Yeah, and it was like confusing, like he didn't hit his head.
I agree.
Oh, it just like he fell over in the chair.
What?
Really,
wait,
who was he talking to?
He was talking to other Dan during large portions of the movie and missed key critical things.
No, the key critical thing was the visual of him falling off his chair.
4.5, that's up to you.
And his visual of him falling off the chair, I agree with Dan, was not convincing.
Okay, it wasn't, but it wasn't that confusing. It was not that confusing.
I didn't say it was confusing. I don't think Dan said it was confusing.
This is my rating.
Oh.
You can't tell me what to think.
Oh. Sisterhood.
Yeah. I'm with Beth on this. Our sisterhood is 4.5. 4.5. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, good.
Molly, you gave it 5, even though you wanted to give it 3.
5.
Oh.
I liked it.
But what did you really think?
Yeah.
5.
Why?
Oh, I guess because it did more than hold up to my memory. There were new pieces in it that made me so happy watching it this time. There was one part that started to drag a little bit, and I can't even tell you what it was, because 2 seconds later, I was right back on board.
Oh.
And unlike some people, I don't deduct a half star for that.
Wow.
Dan.
I mean, we did do, for the record, we did recently do an episode where you all shit on a movie entirely because of its length.
Didn't we really? I don't remember.
Yeah. It was a big factor. It was a big factor.
Yeah, listen to our go donate a dollar.
Yeah, at least.
Listen to, hey, then you can go, look, if you want to game the system, I'm fine with it. Go donate a dollar. Listen to all the bonus content. Cancel it for like 6 months. Come back, donate another dollar. Listen to the next 6 months.
Wow.
Wow.
Just given all that.
But then also get 800 of your other friends.
Oh, yeah.
Same thing. Yeah. So we can make big friends bang.
Every 6 months.
Bazinga, Green Lantern shirt. My name is Sheldon.
And then Marcel, no.
Yeah, Marcel the Monkey.
Yeah, there we go. I got
Pivot.
It.
Pivot. How you doing?
Venus Paul Report. Rudd. Right?
Naked Neighbor.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, pretty good.
Naked, oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, what? Ugly Naked Guy.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's so sad.
I'm we'll up in mine shaming. To 5.
Whoa.
Because it does more than hold up.
Oh.
I think that makes up for the awkward non-head hit.
Yay.
4.75.
Okay.
Totes Recall is hosted by Molly Chase, Beth Gibbs, Dan DeQuette, and Dan Linden. Produced by Beth Gibbs. New episodes of Totes Recall drop on the 15th of every month. For more information and bonus content, visit us at totesrecall.com. Thank you so much for listening.